Well, good morning, and thank you again to the elders for this opportunity to open up God's Word. And special thanks this morning for my parents making up the trip all the way from North Carolina to this very, very hot New Jersey shore weekend. I think it's hotter here than it is in North Carolina. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles to our verse for today, and a very familiar verse to many of you, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. Dad Viola, I was just so blessed by your reading of this passage earlier this morning. Did Heather tell you that this is the passage? No. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 18. I remember when I was telling Heather about the verse I wanted to speak on today, she gave me a real dubious look and asked, "Brooks, do you really think you can speak for 30 minutes? Of course, now it's 45 minutes on just one verse." Of course, my first thought was, I can talk for hours and hours about whether or not the Carolina Panthers are going to make the Super Bowl again this year. I think I can say something. I think I can find something to say, as my grandma used to tell us, or I guess maybe warn us. Leverins have the gift of gab, the gift of gab. Do you remember that, Dad? 1 Corinthians. I came by it honestly, by the way. The gift of gab. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Can we read it again together? Say it with me. I just want you to feel the emotion of this verse. Verse 18, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you know very well that not long ago I was perishing. I wanted no part of the cross and your message of the cross. And Lord in heaven, I pray if there's anyone here today who sees the cross as I used to see it, as mere foolishness, open their eyes as you opened my own, open their hearts, as soften their hearts as you softened my own. Let us come to the cross this morning and see it fresh for everything that it is. Your power, Lord, your Son who died for us, and it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Well, this morning I want to talk about the cross. Now, that's a big enough topic for a whole month of Sundays. The cross. The cross. This morning I want to invite you to the cross of Christ, wherever you may be in your life this morning, a group this size. There may be a few here that are brand new to Christianity, never heard the gospel. I invite you to come look upon the cross for the first time and see what you might find there. And there may be some who heard the gospel as a young person in Sunday school, and maybe you even accepted the message of the cross, but you've grown up, thought better of it, walked away. I invite you today to come back, consider the cross again in a new way, and see what new things you might find there. And is there anyone here today that is standing right at the foot of the cross in the faith, but starting to gaze out into the world, wondering what's out there beyond the shadow of the cross? I invite you to turn around today. Turn around today and look up. Hold tight to the cross of Christ. This is so important because the world is watching. Hold tight and see what else. The deeper things you might find there. My brother likes to say, "Brooks, we just need to keep clinging to the cross. Cling to the cross." I rarely get to see my brother. We even rarely get to connect on the phone. He's got 6 kids from 7 to 19. So he's definitely got his hands full, but when we do see each other, or we do get to connect on the phone, we have a lot to talk about. Starting off singing the high notes. Hey, the family is great. Work is great. Life is great. Health is great. It's all great. 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 Then getting down to what's real. Brooks, the doctor gave me 2 choices. Yeah. Daughter's going into surgery. Yeah. You never know. Yeah. Then, Brooks, we just need to keep clinging to the cross. cling to the cross. If there's anyone here today standing right at the foot of the cross, but being buffeted by the world, starting to second guess, letting loose of your grip, hang on. Hang on. Cling to the cross of Christ. We just need to keep clinging to the cross. Verse 18, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. You're looking on the cross now. Anyone see foolishness up there? I can relate to that. I can relate to that. Before I was saved a little over 6 years ago, I wanted no part of the cross. No part of the cross. No part of the cross. I had no problem with Jesus' birth. Christmas. What's not to like? Joseph and Mary, a baby, stables, donkeys, presents, cookies, and hot cider. Who's going to argue with that? No problem with Jesus' sayings. His sayings, the golden rule. Love your neighbor. Do good. Love your mother. Watch baseball and eat plenty of apple pie. Did Jesus say that? He said, eat plenty of my mother's apple pie. If he didn't, he should have. I was even basically okay with Jesus' resurrection, more or less. Springtime. It's my favorite season. The whole world coming back to life. Jesus, daffodils, jelly beans. No complaints there, but I wanted no part of the cross. No part of the cross. Diego knows this. Carol knows this. Craig, who else has the gift of evangelism? You're happy to talk about loving your neighbor and Easter eggs. What'd you say about the cross? Oh, no, that's not what I'm really personally into. Got one already, gave it the office. No, thank you. Not interested. No, thank you. Cruelty, hatred, punishment, vindication from the distance that I was standing back from the cross before I was saved. And believe me, that was a long way back. That's what I saw on the cross. What kind of horrible, depressing story kills off the main character right when things are getting good? I mean, what kind of cruel God puts his own son to death? You can take that God, I'll take the good God. Life is already hard enough. Weakness, frailty, vulnerability. Before I was saved, from the distance that I was standing back, that's what I saw on the cross. That's what I saw on the cross. If Jesus were God, now why couldn't he save himself, or at least skip all the beating and the mocking and the scourging and spitting and nakedness and thorns? At least allow himself to die in dignity. That's all we can really hope for in life, right? To die in dignity, insanity, madness, cuckoo, Looney Tunes. From the distance that I was standing back, and believe me, that was a long way before I was saved, that's what I saw on the cross. How crazy do you have to be to put yourself in harm's way like Jesus did, riding right into town on a donkey, knowing his enemies had him surrounded? How many times could Jesus have gotten away? Count them. Foolishness. Foolishness. From the distance that I was standing back, that's what I saw on the cross. Foolishness to those who are, like I was for so long, perishing. Foolishness to those who are perishing. Perishing. But to us who are being saved, the message of the cross is the power of God. The power of God. The power of God. I was perishing, brothers and sisters. And you were too. You were too. We were perishing. All of us were perishing, but God. But God, remember Ephesians 2:4, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. By God's grace, we were lost, but now are found. I love the way the Father welcomes home the prodigal son. And Luke, just like God welcoming me home 6 years ago, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Can you hear the joy? Can you hear that joy? By God's grace, we were given new eyes. How about the way that the blind man in John 9 says it so matter-of-factly? I love this in John 9:25. One thing I know, verse 25, one thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. I was blind, but now I see. Can anyone see today? Can anyone see today? I invite you to come look upon the cross for the first time and see what you might find there. Come back, consider the cross in a new way and see what new things you might find there. Turn around and look up today. Hold tight to the cross and see what else, the deeper things you might find there. What do you see today? What do you see today? When we look to the cross, we find empathy. When we look to the cross, we find empathy. Empathy. That was the thing that really struck me when Heather and I started attending church again. Back in Virginia, my life had gone right off the rails, sick, bouncing around from job to job. New baby, nothing fit the plan, my plan. And I remember, Carol, I think, remembers this. Carol came down one Easter to Virginia, our house in Virginia, declared we were going to church. Good morning, kids. Rise and shine. We are going to church. She pulled out the yellow pages. Everyone remember the yellow pages anymore? And started looking for any church with the word Bible in its name. Any church with the word Bible. And I remember parking at the Reston Bible Church, praise God, looking around and seeing all these cheerful looking people, Bibles in hand, with cheerful children, and thinking, oh no. Oh no. What if somebody finds me out, shines a big spotlight on me, right from the loudspeaker? There is a sinner in pew 14. Sinner in pew 14. The guy with the green tie. Please pick up your crying baby in the nursery. Well, what do you know? It didn't happen that way. It didn't actually happen that way. We slipped past the guards at the front door, and right on our left was this sealed off glass enclosed room with a sign that said, cry room. True story. Cry room. Remember that, Heather? A bunch of new moms, you know, and a bunch of new babies, and me. And I spent the next hour crying. I don't even remember the actual topic. Heather probably does. I don't remember the actual topic of the message that day, but I heard it something like this, piped in right from the speakers up in the corner of the cry room. Brooks, 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 I know what you're going through. I've gone through it too. And if you'll let me, I will go through it too with you. Amen. Straight from God. Church, whatever you have gone through in your life, whatever you've gone through this year, this week, whatever you went through just to make it here this morning in the heat, we know we can rest assured that Christ endured even more on that cross. He endured even more. Turn over to Matthew in verse 27. Chapter 27 and verse 46. Chapter 27, Matthew and verse 46, and about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Matthew 27:46, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was betrayed by his own disciple Judas. He was disowned and denied by Peter. He was falsely accused, beaten, mocked, scourged, nailed to the cross, forsaken. My God, why have you forsaken me, forsaken by the Father, his Father? Then remember John 19:28. And this, Jesus, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were accomplished and were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Jesus said, I thirst. I thirst. I thirst. Can you imagine? I thirst. The same giver of life, that told the woman at the well in chapter 4 of John 4:13, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. This same Jesus, this same Jesus said, I thirst. Anyone thirst here this morning? Or have you tasted the water that only Jesus can give springing up into eternal, everlasting life? The woman said, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst. Lord Jesus, today we pray, give us this water that we may not thirst. Love. When we look to the cross, we find love. Turn over to John 19, starting in verse 25. John 19, starting in verse 25. John 19, 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. Verse 26, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. I can tell you right now, before I was saved, this one really stumped me. I mean, the thing that really strikes you is just how odd this is. Unexpected, as Jack has learned to say, unexpected. Think about it. Here's Jesus up on the cross, beaten, scourged, hanging from that cross. Can you even imagine the pain and agony? Yet his response is to reach down in love for us, brothers and sisters. Well, I have this strange childhood memory. Can I tell you a quick story? And Dad's kindly given me permission to tell this story. This watershed moment when I first learned how people normally react to stress and pain. A watershed moment every Christmas. The extended Levering family would get together for its annual Nerf football game on the ball field at our orchard in Virginia. Usually Dad would play all-time quarterback, all-time QB. But for some reason, this game, he was playing wide receiver. Anyway, he still called the plays. Thank you, Dad. And about halfway through the game, he calls this sophisticated crossing route right there on the palm. Calls this sophisticated crossing route where my cousin Michael, would pick the defense and spring Dad free to catch the ball in stride. Well, sure enough, I think you can see where this story is headed. Dad collides head on with Michael on this sophisticated play at full speed, with the two of them lying on the ground. Bells rung, and then this neighbor dog trots out there. This neighbor dog, what was Virginia's dog? Maggie. It was Maggie. Yeah, dog's name was Maggie. She comes over to Dad while he's down and just gives him the biggest lick right across the face. I mean, Dad shoots up so fast and cussed so loud. All you could see was this reddish brown blur of fur. That was Maggie. So that is when I first learned how people normally react to stress and pain. Poor dog. Wasn't she just showing her affection? You can't make this stuff up. To an outsider looking in, Jesus' response is so unexpected. Unexpected, Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2, Jesus, who when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. Look at the cross this morning. Look at the cross this morning. In the midst of unimaginable suffering, his first thought is you receive his love. this morning. He cares for you as his child. Brothers and sisters, this is what love is all about. I could go on forever talking about all the things that Jesus said about love, but look at how he shows it. Look at how he shows it. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Friends, have you received the love of Jesus today? Forgiveness. When we look to the cross, we find forgiveness. Does anyone here need to be forgiven today? Turn back to Luke 23 and verse 32. Luke 23 and verse 32. Luke 23 and verse 32. There were also two others, criminals, led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, verse 34, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. I remember hearing this for the first time, thinking, who, me? Okay, who, me? Like that old Robert De Niro line, you talking to me? You talking to me? Anyone remember that old line? Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Not me. Why do I need to be forgiven? I'm the good one here. At least I'm a lot better than those guys. I'm a lot better than those guys. Who remembers that old Boy Scout campfire song? Dad sang it last night, that old Boy Scout campfire song. Oh, there ain't no flies on us. Sing it, Boy Scouts. Any Boy Scouts today? I'll be the Boy Scout. There ain't no flies on us. There ain't no flies on us. There may be flies on you guys, but there ain't no flies on us. Flies on yous guys. That's the Jersey version. We're the good ones here. There may be bugs on you mugs. Frogs on you dogs. I'm glad nobody remembers this. Only I remember this. Lobsters on you mobsters. Skunks on you punks. No flies on us. We're the good ones here. Any of the good people here today wondering why you need to be forgiven? Well, I want you to do something for me, an exercise. Let's see who's still awake. I want you to consider Calvary right now. I want you to consider Calvary now in your mind's eye. Put yourself right at the scene. Jesus looking down at the crowds gathered around the cross saying, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Can you hear him? Can you hear him this morning? Can you hear Jesus on the cross? Or are you somewhere else right now? In that crowd gathered around, who are you standing with this morning? Who are you standing with this morning? Anyone standing with Peter? Long gone. Where'd he go? Any part of you standing there? You even once confessed Jesus as the Christ, but are you denying his lordship in your life now? I have stood there. Brothers and sisters, I have stood there. How about Pilate? Anyone standing with Pilate this morning telling Jesus, what is the truth? What is the truth? The truth. Jesus serving the truth, but only when the truth serves you. I have stood there. Brothers and sisters, I have stood there. How about the criminal next to Jesus? How about that criminal? Anyone standing with the criminal today? Shouting over to Jesus, show me Jesus. Show me Jesus. If you are really so big and so mighty, show me what you can do for me. Now I have stood there. Who are you standing with this morning? Soldiers, rulers, chief priests, scribes, I have stood there. I have stood there. Good people, who are you standing with this morning? Am I the only one? Am I the only one, or does somebody else here need to be forgiven today? Anyone else need to be forgiven? Lord Jesus, we confess today that we are sinners standing before you, and we know, as the psalmist says, if you, Lord, should record our iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? Who could stand? But praise God, if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us stand with you and you alone this morning, Lord Jesus. And Father, forgive us. Pray it with me, please. Father, forgive us, for we do not know what we do. Salvation. Salvation. When we look to the cross, we find salvation. Drop down to Luke 23 and verse 39. Luke 23 and verse 39. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." Verse 40. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation?" Verse 41, "And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." Verse 42, "Then he said to Jesus, 'Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' And Jesus said to him, 'Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise.'" Salvation. Salvation. Can we just pause here for just a moment to let this passage marinate for a while? Someone said a good piece of meat makes its own gravy. A good piece of meat makes its own gravy. Well, these verses are just so incredibly rich and juicy, so incredibly rich and juicy with theology that just opens up the entire gospel. Jesus can save anyone. Yes, he can. From the Bible Belt grandma all the way to the hardest criminal, he saved me. He can surely save you. It's never too late to be saved. It's never too late to be saved. 36, 63, 103, you can be saved with your last breath here on earth. Salvation has nothing to do with what you do or what you have done. You don't have to walk some aisle. You don't have to recite some particular prayer. You don't have to follow some formula. Belief. Belief in Christ and Christ alone. That's it. That's it. Doesn't need any extra gravy. No gravy required. Belief in Christ for salvation. Does somebody need to hear this today? Does somebody need to hear this today? Does somebody need to hear this today? Are you still thinking like a very smart but non-believing friend of mine? Salvation. Who needs it? I don't need the promise of some future paradise to be a good person now. A few years ago, I asked this very smart but non-believing friend a version of what's called Pascal's Wager. Pascal's Wager, you know, new believer. I'd studied up a little bit on apologetics. Thought I knew a few things. I said, "I know you don't believe that there's a heaven. I know you don't believe that there's a heaven, but let's just suppose hypothetically that there's a one in a million chance that the heaven described in the Bible exists. And all you have to do is put your faith in Christ now to be welcomed into that heaven. When you die, would you take the gamble?